You are now listening to a podcast from Cambridge University Press. And here's your host, Professor Jack C. Richards.
I'd like to look at some issues involved in developing proficiency, competence, expertise in language teaching. What does it take to really be a fully developed, fully proficient English language teacher? I'm going to look at 10 different dimensions of expertise, if you like, that are involved in teacher development and that we need to think about if we're designing courses for new teachers or if we are interested in our own professional development. What are these 10 important features of professional development in language teaching proficiency? Well, the first, of course, has to do with English language proficiency, because although most of the world's English teachers are not native speakers of English, one does need to have a good command of English to be able to teach English as a second or foreign language, because the ability to teach in the classroom, to provide language models, to maintain use of English as the teaching language, to give explanations and instructions in English, and so on, to be able to select language resources from magazines and newspapers, to be able to give feedback to students and to provide correction of the problems that they encounter with and provide the right kind of input. All of these aspects of teaching are dependent on the language teacher's proficiency in English. So there is a threshold proficiency level, if you like, that the teacher needs to have attained to be able to teach English well in the classroom if your mother tongue is not English. Now, if you're at a fairly low proficiency level in English and teaching students of a fairly low proficiency level yourself, I think the only way to improve your own proficiency level is to make sure there are opportunities to teach more advanced level classes to stretch your own language ability, if you like. So language proficiency is a key thing. It also links to the notion of identity, because teachers whose English is weak often perceive this as the first aspect of their own development that they need to work on. So language proficiency. Second issue, the second strand, if you like, is content knowledge. What do you know about the subject matter of English language teaching? What sort of courses have you taken? What have you read? Language teachers today are expected to be educated professionals, to have a good working knowledge of how language works, knowledge of language teaching theories, methodologies, understanding of second language learning, and so on. And so today's teachers need to be well educated in the subject matter which they're specializing in. You're perhaps familiar with the TKT, the Teacher Knowledge Test, which Cambridge ESOL offers, and that's a good start for those of you who are just becoming familiar with English language teaching a profession. You might move on to do diploma-level courses, graduate-level courses. So the more you know about the discipline of English language teaching, the more informed the decisions you make in terms of choosing and using materials and teaching your students. Content knowledge. Then, of course, there's the issue of teaching skills. Teaching skills refers to the repertoire of competencies that you can use, the procedures and routines you use in managing a lesson, in opening the lesson, in setting up learning arrangements, monitoring students' language use, and so on. All the practical behavioral aspects of a lesson, these are what we mean by teaching skills. And these are what you acquire normally in your first teacher training course. And when you do teacher training courses, you are taught a repertoire of basic teaching skills that will help you survive in the classroom. Over time, of course, these skills become easy to use. They're performed almost automatically, certainly more fluently, and don't require so much conscious thought and attention as they did when you first started teaching. So yes, some aspects of teaching can be seen in terms of skill development, and experienced teachers have a wide repertoire of skills, of routines and strategies that they can use. They've automated these skills to some extent, but they can also move beyond the skills they have been taught to improvise. So over time, we move from a single set or a core set of skills or competencies to more complex skills that are more dependent on the teacher's own thinking about the nature of teaching and learning. Another important dimension we have to learn about when we're learning to teach is the context in which we're going to teach. What kind of school are we going to work in? What kinds of teachers are we going to be working with as colleagues, and what kind of students will we find in our classrooms? teaching differs according to the context in which it occurs. And a classroom in Japan might work very differently from one in Canada. Teachers in Australia might operate very differently from teachers in China. So teaching, learning to teach in a school involves understanding what the values of that school are, what the norms of practice are, and what the patterns of social participation are in that school. What's the role of the prescribed curriculum? What's the school culture like? What are the routines of the classroom, the school's procedures for doing things, and so on? So all of these aspects of working in a school are an important part of becoming a teacher, understanding the context in which you're working and what the variables are in that context that are going to influence the way you teach. The fifth dimension of becoming a professional teacher, an expert teacher, has to do with identity. How do you see yourself as a teacher? What sort of roles do you try to enact in the classroom? How do you interact with your students? How do they perceive you? And so when you switch from being a student of teaching to a teacher, there's a change in your identity in a sense. You have to think of a new way of communicating what this role is. You have to develop new ways of talking about teaching and learning. So teacher learning involves not only discovering more about the skills and knowledge of language teaching, but also what it means to be a language teacher. What does it mean to be a language teacher if you yourself speak English as a second language? So identity is an important issue. It's part of how you communicate your vision of yourself, if you like, to your students and to colleagues. And it's partly dependent on language proficiency. It's partly dependent on what you know about teaching, and it's partly how you communicate in the context in which you're working. Teacher identity. The next thing which is important in observing teachers develop their teaching skills over time is how they are able to move from, if you like, a teacher-focused view of learning to a learner-focused view of teaching. As we develop experience over time in teaching, we are able to move towards viewing the lesson as an opportunity to engage with the learners rather than simply to, if you like, present our lesson plan. So learner-focused teaching means that the teacher is able to reshape lessons based on the way the lesson unfolds in terms of student reaction, student interaction. So when we first start our teaching experience, we're naturally preoccupied with our own performance as a teacher. We want to show that we're confident, competent, and skilled, and to try to create lessons that reflect these dimensions. But as we become more confident, more and develop more experience, get to know our students better, we're able to build our lessons around students' difficulties, students' interests, and maintain active student involvement. So strategies to personalize one's teaching are an important part of professional development. Next issue has to do with thinking skills, that language teachers, when they teach lessons, take a piece of content, it might be a lesson from a book, they have to think, how can I transform this into the basis of a lesson? They have to think about what are the potentials of this lesson in terms of language learning, what are the difficulties that I might need to anticipate in terms of grouping, in terms of timing, and so on. And so part of the skill of a teacher is being able to create lessons around potential lesson content, thinking about the context in which the lesson will be taught, who the students are, what the difficulties might be, and so on. And this is an important thinking skill which we acquire through experience, through observing other teachers, and through learning more about teaching, the ability to use specialized thinking skills. Another issue that we need to think about is how we develop an understanding of teaching from the experience of teaching. So when we begin teaching, we're perhaps applying ideas that we got from training programs, we're applying theories to practice, but over time we use practice as a source of our own theorizing. We arrive at an understanding of teaching through the experience of teaching and learning, theorizing from practice, and this involves developing personal principles, if you like, developing explanations for what happens, developing ideas and theories as to how teaching and learning work, the theorizing of practice. One more the membership of a community of practice. As teachers become part of a school, part of a professional community, they need to find ways of interacting with other colleagues, sharing knowledge, sharing experience to achieve shared goals, and using that process of collaboration cooperation to resolve issues that come up in teaching, becoming members of a community of practice. And many forms of professional development can foster this sense of community of practice. Lastly, the notion of professionalism, that English language teaching is not something that anybody can do. It's a specialized career field. It requires specialized knowledge and training, both academic and practical. And it's a field where membership is based on entry requirements and standards. So professionalism of English language teaching is seen all over the place these days in the journals that we read, in the conferences that we attend. Some aspects of professionalism come from the institution in which we work, in which they prescribe certain aspects of behavior, certain norms of practice and so on that constitute quality teaching. But other aspects of professionalism are personally generated through teachers setting standards for themselves, setting goals for themselves in terms of professional development and professional growth. So those 10 aspects of teaching development are things that influence the way we approach our own teaching, and if we're supervisors and teacher trainers, the way we think about the activities that we want to plan for our teachers.